This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. This is Derek Haskins, Communications Director for the South Dakota Department of Health. Thank you for joining us for a daily COVID-19 case update call. I'm joined by Dr. Josh Clayton, State Epidemiologist, and Kim Malsom-Risden, Secretary of Health. And once Josh gives today's update, they'll be available to take your questions. I'll turn it over now to Dr. Clayton.
Good morning. Today we are reporting 239 new cases of COVID-19 in the state. This does include 11 new hospitalizations, no deaths. We have 41 new recovered individuals from COVID-19, as well as 940 new negative tests that have been performed. In total, that brings our tests to 3,144 COVID-19 cases. We have about 1/3 of those being active infections, 1,044, and about 2/3 of those being recovered, 2,069. 247 hospitalizations have been reported with all of our cases, as well as 31 deaths. In total, our number of negative tests that have been performed are 18,149. The community impact map will be updated for Grant County, moving to minimal to moderate activity. For cases by county, we have 14 in Brown, 1 Clark, 2 in Clay, 1 in Hughes, 1 in Lake, 9 in Lincoln, 1 in Meade, 203 in Minnehaha, 3 in Moody, 1 in Pennington, 1 in Todd, and 2 in Union. For cases by age range, we have 35 in the 0 to 19 year age category, 35 in the 20 to 29 year age category, 59 in the 30 to 39 year age category, 43 in the 40 to 49 year age category, 38 in the 50 to 59 year age category, 24 in the 60 to 69 year age category, 4 in the 70 to 79 year age category, and 1 in the 80 and older category. For cases by sex, we have 133 that are male and 106 that are female.
Thank you, Dr. Clayton. I'm going to unmute the lines and then we'll take your questions.
Good morning, JP at KORN News Radio.
Go ahead, JP.
Thank you very much. Dr. Clayton, is it safe to say that the majority of the new cases in Minnehaha County are tied to the testing events that happened earlier this week?
So what we do know is that 3,628 total tests were performed as part of that mass testing event. We're still looking to identify through our case investigations, how many of those may be associated with that testing event versus just part of the background testing within Minnehaha County. But I think it's safe to say that a lot of what we're seeing is going to be associated with that mass testing event, and we hope to have more information next week to share.
And a quick follow-up, could you give us a report on the number of recoveries from the Smithfield-related testing and the close contact?
Of the Smithfield cases that we have reported previously, we have 803 individuals who have recovered, who are employees, and 231 that are close contacts to those employees that have recovered.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take the next question.
Good morning. This is Joseph from Capital Journal.
Go ahead, Joseph.
Good morning, y'all. Thank you. So I'm curious about how many of are you going to be tracking or looking into how many of the, at least from the mass testing, you would think there might be a lot of people that were asymptomatic. And because that's an issue that folks are looking into, are you guys, like, it would be good data to have. When your contract tracers do it, are they going to, do they care if somebody's asymptomatic now when you with the results from that mass testing, or is it just like kind of normal steam ahead, I guess?
Well, and so the focus that we have as part of our normal investigations, most of the individuals have had symptoms, and so we do collect information on any symptom that individuals have, and so that is a piece of our investigation that we typically do regardless of where the testing might be coming from. What I can say, the other thing I can say specifically around testing is that about 10% or so of those that were at that mass testing event, had shown symptoms, and so that is unknown exactly what percentage of our positives are coming from that 10% that had symptoms versus the 90% that did not have symptoms. But ultimately what it comes down to is there's no difference in our investigations for somebody who is, tested and has symptoms versus test positive and has symptoms versus is asymptomatic at time of test. The focus is still that there's a minimum of 10 days that they're in isolation. For those who are asymptomatic and there's no symptoms to base it off of, we use a time-based strategy, which is focusing on 10 days from the date of their positive test. And then for those who are having symptoms, we are looking at a minimum of 10 days from the onset of their illness, plus a minimum of 3 days of recovery, and that recovery is identified as being 3 days without a fever, as well as 3 days of general improvement of their other symptoms. So it has a little bit of impact in terms of how we do our investigations, but just know that everybody who is testing positive is in isolation.
Next question.
Adam St. Paul, Dakota Broadcasting.
Go to Adam St. Paul.
Yes, Dr. Clayton, we've seen in Brown County here quite the uptick over the last couple days. I guess 17 yesterday, 14 today. Are we testing more up here that you can speak to, I guess? What's the reason, if there is any, for the extra here in town?
Yeah, I mean, I think always positive test results are a byproduct of how many tests are being run. I think there is both a potential for greater testing as well as, additional transmission that's occurring within the community. One of the things that we're aware of are, all of those communities, based on that community impact map, that are at substantial transmission. And so individuals that are in those counties and in those communities should be taking enhanced precautions to protect themselves from COVID-19.
And could I have a follow-up quick?
Sure.
You kind of led into my next question then. I get, does the administration still stand by social distancing and things to that nature, seeing that the city here, at least in Aberdeen, and others across the state are trying to reopen at the same time?
So, Adam, this is Kim Olson-Rice, and yes, we do, and the governor's plan to reopen does emphasize social distancing and the need to continue to do that and practice all the other strategies that can help people stay safe from COVID. So that includes washing your hands frequently, staying home if you're sick. If you do have symptoms of COVID, call your provider and see if you need to be tested. And so social distancing is still something that we're recommending. And as businesses reopen, there's ways to accomplish that social distancing in different ways, I know we're seeing lots of great examples of how that happens. My husband was just trying to get a new cell phone here the other day, and the process is to sit in your car until the guy calls you that you're the next customer, and you'd be the only customer in there, and then they stand far enough away from you that they can maintain that social distancing. So I think we're seeing a lot of good examples of that happening in the state. The other thing I wanted to point out about Brown County is that they do have the fourth highest rate of testing so far of all counties in our state. And so we are seeing a lot of testing activity up there.
Next question.
This is Paul at the Groton Independent.
Go ahead, Paul.
In Brown County, how many of those 14 cases are related to the DMCOTA plan?
The process of our investigation is that those cases come in. We're at various stages of follow-up with those positive cases. So those 14 that are being reported today, we may not fully have all of their employment information, but that is reflected in the total number of 61 cases that are associated with the DemCoDeB.
All right, thank you.
Next question. Any other questions?
Yes, JP from KORN News Radio again. I was wondering, could you differentiate for us the difference between the test for the antibody and the swab test for the infection in general?
Yeah, so the antibody test is based on your body's immune response to the virus. And so that is your body identifying the virus in your body and producing those antibodies that are specific to COVID-19. The difference between that antibody test and what is done for the nasal swab in order to get a positive test is that that nasal swab is actively looking for the virus, and so they're able to identify whether that swab that, that was collected had any virus located on it. So it's a that difference is that you're directly detecting the virus versus detecting your body's response to the virus through the antibody test.
Thank you.
Next question.
Adam St. Paul again.
Go ahead, Adam.
I had a question in from a listener with, I believe, Brown County has the third most positive cases in the state so far. And with the, you know, scare out of DemCoDeB, is there any chance that there'd be a mass testing event here in Aberdeen or in Brown County?
So, Adam, that's a great question. We're actually working with providers, healthcare providers in the community. Our understanding is that there has been extremely aggressive testing happening. We're currently evaluating whether a mass testing event would be useful in this situation.
All right, next question.
This is Joseph with the Capital Journal again.
Go ahead, Joseph.
Thanks. I was wondering how many tests do you think you have left of from the mass testing event? Or has everybody, like, when will everybody have been tested so we know when the spike, like, you know, so folks tracking it, oh, no, when the spike is not going to be there anymore kind of thing.
Yeah, so, you know, of the total tests that have been performed, those 3,628, we are getting those in as the testing has been completed by LabCorp, and so, you know, that will continue on through the weekend, and, you know, we'll continue to see our cases be high throughout the weekend, and so, hopefully by Monday we're through all of the testing, and you know, we'll at that point then have a chance to work all of those investigations, make sure that everybody knows of their positive status, and those close contacts are identified as well.
So just one other piece of information, Joseph. The event at Washington High School concluded last night at 8 p.m., and so that's where we, you know, it would be through that event that we would see the most volume. Individuals that work for Smithfield or their families are able to go to a different site and still get tested, but the mass event ended last night. So over the weekend, we'll see those results come in.
All right. One final question.
Ray from Kelloland.
Go ahead, Ray.
Hi, I apologize if this has been asked and answered, but with hospitalizations, do the hospitalizations reflect people who may be brought in from other states? I know Aver and Sanford, I believe, have been picking up some folks from Sioux City, Iowa, and the surrounding area of Iowa.
So the number of individuals that are considered ever hospitalized at 247, those would be individuals who are South Dakota residents who are COVID-19 positive. And have been hospitalized, and a part of those individuals make up that current hospitalized number.
South Dakota residents in our numbers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, how is that reflected in the modeling you're looking at? Are you looking at only South Dakota, you know, hospitalizations, South Dakota residents only? Because, you know, our health facilities are used in bordering states as well.
Yes, that is correct. When we're looking at models specifically for the state, we're looking at only those residents who test positive and are in need of hospitalization. I think the models that are created by Avera, Sanford, and Monument are more specific to the populations in which they serve, so there would be more overlap with communities that would be receiving care, like in Minnesota, that would come to Sioux Falls, as an example.
Okay, so you're confident that the modeling with hospitalizations, even though the state one doesn't reflect people brought into from other states, is sufficient in terms of hospitalizations then?
Correct. You know, part of what we're doing on an ongoing basis is working with each of the health systems and having a discussion of, you know, what they're seeing in the modeling, how that reflects and extends out to what is being seen for the statewide model. And, we are fully aware of a little bit of the differences in the models that are being used. But that's also one of the positive aspects of having different individuals running different models, is that we're still coming up to that consensus agreement on what we're seeing across all of our models.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. And we, again, won't have briefings over the weekend, but we will talk to you again on Monday. Thank you.